Hey, and welcome back to If Water Coolers Could Talk. We are starting episode 28, and I'm Jess. This is Danielle.
Hello.
How are you feeling? She's back from Florida, everybody. And do you think she's sick or not sick?
I'm sick.
I think we all knew that was going to happen.
It doesn't fail. You put me on an airplane. If it's just one quick, short flight, I'm usually okay. But anything more than that, and I get sick every time.
Yeah.
So, and this one, I got really lucky. So going to Florida, I didn't get sick going down there. And I think it was just the anticipation and the excitement of being there and the wedding and everything that just kind of kept me going. Because when we finally had a day to slow down, I was like, uh-oh. I am getting a little bit sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, of course, so much going on. We slowed down the day before I came home.
Of course.
Oh, it was crazy.
Yeah. So busy. So you probably
was flying home. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was crazy. Every day was a million things to do. Packed in too much too quick. And then finally, because we ended up back at Pensacola a day earlier than we were scheduled to, we had a day to just kind of relax and hang out and not really do anything. And so that's when I started to feel a little headachy, a little scratchy in my throat. And I was like, uh-oh. I knew I was going too much.
Yeah.
But I was fighting it because I had a 14-hour trip home the next day. So, but I mean, on the flight back, like I was doing okay. I was eating cough drops like candy, but I was doing okay.
The earplugs I sent you didn't save you.
They actually did. My ears are fine. It's just my throat and my nose. My ears are fine. Those earplugs, they're amazing. So your ears do still pop a little bit.
Yeah.
And on one of the flights, my ears were popping pretty bad. But when we landed and I took out the earplugs, I didn't feel anything. And I was like, okay, like, cause I was getting nervous cause it was, they were making like the squeaky pops again. That's what happened last time when I couldn't. Yeah. And it put me out of commission for days. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay. I was smart this time. I've got 3 days at home to recover before I have to go back to work. But when we landed in Vancouver, because it was a flight from Atlanta to Vancouver, where my ears were really bugging me. And I was also sitting like right next to the engine, so it didn't help, just with the noise and stuff. But we landed in Vancouver and I took those earbuds out and my ears were okay. I'm like, okay, I don't have that weird pressure feeling that I had last time. And then like when I got back here, yeah, my ears have been fine. So it's just from the recycled compressed air that my sinuses and my throat, but that's all it is this time. So
they no likey.
Next
they
time like I just need air. Like, no.
Next time you need an oxygen tank on board. That's what you need.
So I was just thinking, bring my own little tank, bring my own air. Cause I don't understand why. I'm not the only person like this though. There've been a few others that I've talked to that they're the same way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the same air in the airports too. But yeah, I got home and I'm actually sounding a lot better and feeling a lot better than I was yesterday. Yesterday, I just slept all day. Today, yeah. I actually feel like I can get my laundry done, which will be good because it's taking over the room again.
Well, yesterday, when we talked to you, anyways, you sounded really sick.
Dave woke me up when you guys called.
Oh.
Dave woke me up because, like I said, I slept most of yesterday.
Yeah.
So that's part of why I sounded so rough is when he came upstairs, I had been asleep in the chair. And so obviously when you first wake up, when you've got a scratchy throat, you sound a lot worse than you normally do. So I was sounding a lot worse than I was feeling when I was talking to you guys. But yeah, as soon as I got off the phone, I was asleep again. And I barely even remembered the phone call this morning. I was like, did that happen? Was it a dream? Did I screw up and not talk to Rosie for her birthday? And
no, then I you did.
I'm like, no, it's okay. I talked to her kind of.
Yes, I was over there for to bring all the birthday gifts and stuff, and we would like to wish Rosie a very happy birthday yesterday. She's like one of our top listeners,
Dad,
basically. So yay, happy birthday! Yeah. And we also hope that you had a good birthday. You know, we celebrated on our Facebook group with a beautiful picture.
Yes, we did. That was terrible.
It was so cute.
That was a very mean thing to post.
It was cute.
That was terrible.
So cute. So anyway,
I did have a good birthday. There was a lot of stress on my birthday because I was going through and packing, and I was working, and like I just it was crazy. It was stressful, but it was great. I went to dinner with a couple of people out here, and Mark and Triak and Matt and Dave. So it was really nice.
I need to know.
We went to a place called Rosario's.
Rosario's
makes. Okay. So you know how when people are like, oh, I'm on a diet, I'm eating a salad. And, you know, there's always that little bit of like a disappointment of, oh, it's a salad.
Mm-hmm.
No. You go to Rosario's and you get, there's two different salads. And they are so good that I eat them even if I'm not trying to diet or watch what I eat. Like, even if it's a cheat day, that salad is so good, it feels like a cheat. She makes her own homemade poppy seed dressing. It's just amazing. Like, absolutely amazing. Those salads, I order them all the time. I look forward to them. They are so good. So there's a little plug for if you're ever out here, go to a place called Rosario's and get one of their two salads that have the poppy seed dressing. You won't regret it.
Well, next time we have to go.
So yes, absolutely. Well, we tried to take you there when you were here, but they were closed because it's a small town and it's owned by a family. So when you were here, I'm pretty sure they were closed for her son's wedding or something. So they just closed the whole restaurant because everybody obviously wanted to go to the wedding.
Oh, I think
so.
I remember that.
They closed the whole restaurant for like a week and everybody went to the wedding. Yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's great that they can do that. And it's also great that they think of doing that. So it's an awesome little place.
Sounds like it. So I look forward to going to it soon.
Yes. Well, as soon as you come visit me again, I'll make sure to take you there.
Okay.
Because that salad is awesome.
Mm,
both of them are. So no, I'm sorry. I'll stop talking about food.
I want all the food.
So,
well, I'm glad you made it back safe and sound. You know,
it wasn't
exciting here. It was just work and, you know, normal stuff like that. So, you know, all good, but nothing crazy, I don't think.
Mine was crazy.
Yeah.
Mine was crazy.
You had enough crazy for the both of us. It's quite all right. Quite all
right. Right? I think I had enough crazy for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I worked on Wednesday. So I was up at like 3:30 in the morning, got dressed and went to work on Wednesday and left work, came home, packed the dress because I wasn't going to pack it until I absolutely had to.
Yeah.
So I came home, packed the dress, and went to the airport and flew all night. And I got in, it was about 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. And I kept telling myself, okay, but your sister's working. You're going to have some time to sleep. So I got to her place and it took me a little bit of time to like calm down enough to actually sleep. Mm-hmm. But by the time I'd calmed down enough to actually sleep, she was off work.
Oh boy.
So, because she only worked a half day. I didn't know that. So she tried to let me get some sleep, but I mean, we had things that we had to get done.
Yeah.
So I didn't really sleep Thursday at all. And so it was starting it in a debt. Like I was so tired, but it was crazy. It was beautiful. My sister's beautiful and her dress was beautiful. And it was a great day. It was a beautiful ceremony, beautiful weather for it, except I was dying because
it's a lot
warmer. Like their spring temperatures are like our high summer temperatures.
Oh my gosh.
So they were all like wearing sweaters and like, I'm sitting there, I'm fanning myself and finding the drafts between the air conditioning because I was melting. It was rough, but it was beautiful. and then rush out of there to rush over to, we had our hotel was in Kissimmee and we went to Disney World. And like I said, it was crazy. It was just a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you had some fun and that the wedding went well and all is good. And I'm glad you're back.
Yes. Yes, I'm glad. As much fun as I had and as much as I loved seeing everybody and cousins that I haven't seen for almost 30 years. You know, a cousin that I've seen once since I was like 13. Like, it was amazing to see them. But at the same time, I'm exhausted. I'm glad I'm home and resting and relaxing again.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was a lot. I'm not used to that much excitement. And it was just a whirlwind. It was insane.
It sounds like it. So, oh my gosh. Can you hear that behind me? It's Twiki scratching at the door. I was about to ask. She wants in, but like if I let them in, we know the chaos that's going to ensue. And it's going to get loud. So...
Well, they already broke something this morning, so maybe not letting them in.
That's why, I can't let them in. Anyway, okay. Well, why don't we get started on some stories for everybody? Because I kind of missed doing this last week. I edited it last week just so, you know, it still felt normal, but we didn't get to record, so now we get to read the story.
It was weird not having the time to just relax with you. And it's funny that Twiki is in the background making noise because my first story is about animals. Big surprise, I know. Right?
What about?
So this one comes from an online message board. And she says, the vet clinic we go to hired a new urgent care vet. He's easily one of the best vets we've ever worked with, and he's extremely knowledgeable. He is also on the spectrum and very open about this. He has said some true gems during our dog's visits, but this one is by far my favorite. I'm bringing in our dog for what we suspect is kennel cough. Due to its highly infectious nature, we wait in the car until the vet comes to get us. When he does, he walks us around to the back door of the practice and into an isolation room. It's very small with no windows, and even with only the two of us and my dog, it feels tiny. The vet says, you know, the other vets don't really like these rooms. They say they feel claustrophobic. I don't think so. I think they feel cozy. It reminds me of the shipping container house the government had me live in for a while.
Oh.
This just takes, right? So she's, it takes me a moment to register. And all I can get out is, why did they have you do that? The vet says, oh, this was back during the anthrax scare. I worked at a lab that studied it and had anthrax, and I was one of only two people with the key to where we stored it. So the government thought I was one of the people who sent it, so they isolated me in a shipping container house until things settled down. I didn't mind it, though. It was a nice break from everything.
Wow.
And with this, he starts to examine my dog, right?
Casual.
So he starts to examine my dog, but then he pauses and says, well, it wasn't me, obviously. They let me go once they figured that out, and obviously they wouldn't have let me become a vet if I was a domestic terrorist. And then he went back to checking my dog. I've been back twice since then, and while I have a million questions for him, I have not worked up the courage to ask.
I don't blame you. Very interesting.
That's crazy.
This is an interesting life this particular vet has been leading.
Right? Wow. That is crazy. Locked in a shipping container for, and it doesn't even say how long.
No. I'm sure they made it into a little house, but something. They must have furnished it a little bit.
They probably gave him a bed and a toilet, but I don't think they'd have given him much more. If they thought you're a terrorist, I don't think they're going to be overly nice to you.
Oh, I guess that's true. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Crazy. Oh, I hear a kitty. Bean came in to visit me. Since I've been back, the cats will periodically go off and do their own thing. And then they'll run back over and make sure I'm still home. It's kind of adorable.
Getting
all the
cute
love and attention.
Oh,
I know.
Dave's jealous. He's like, hello, I'm the one who didn't leave you.
Possibly.
Like, well, I also have an animal
story.
I kept
her bed when she was gone. Where's my lovin'?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, very nice.
This animal story surprise, another animal story about cats. This one isn't cheerful. So that's why I wanted to read it now, because I didn't want to end on this, but it's something. So this is sent in from a listener going by the name of Animal Protector. So I'm working as an animal protection officer one summer day, and we get a call about a bunch of cats that are roaming around. At that time, you needed to register your cat, and they were not allowed to be running loose in the city. This was actually a huge case in the courts and newspapers at the time, but it's all done with, so I can talk about it now. So we go around to all of the people's houses and set up cat traps, the same ones we always use for the nasty skunks. Within an hour, they're full, and we go to pick them up, and the cats are really sick. I don't want to go into details to the degree of sickness, but just by looking at them, you know it's bad. We take them to the university for a full checkup, and they tell us they all need to be put down, all eight of them. On top of that, they had toxoplasma. We get calls from the same people the same day that all the yards have cats in them again. We take the traps out there and set them up and wait around 5 minutes, and they're full again. I ask if they know where the cats are coming from, and the lady said everybody knows exactly where they're coming from. They show us the house. I wasn't part of the next part of getting permission to enter the house, but a couple days later, we enter the house, and the ammonia smell is making people gag. And the condition of the house is truly appalling. We collect 87 cats from the house and 9 dogs.
No.
This is in addition to all the cats we had trapped and had been trapping during the days after the first trapping. While we're collecting the cats, the owner is shooing the cats out the back door. The litter box was the bathtub and sinks. Gross. Ew. We continued catching cats for days in the area, but there was no proof that the previous and post-inspection cats we had were hers, so the numbers were just what we pulled from the house that day. All but a couple pets had to be put down, and the vet bills for their checks were quite enormous. When the person found out she wasn't getting all the pets back, she called a lawyer and the newspaper, and they did a whole story on how we took her beloved pets, and they were in perfect health and put them down. Oh my God. They must have had a team of cleaners go through the house, because on the news, her house looked good with tons of those little green air fresheners hanging around the house. Well, if you've ever dealt with a case with the police like this, you know you can't comment about this as it's an ongoing police investigation. So with the story in the papers and on the news, we have dozens of people picketing in our office, coming and screaming at us about it. And all you can say is we cannot comment as it's an ongoing police investigation, which just enraged them. After a while, it settled down, and eventually the case was settled and she was found guilty of mistreating animals, etc. I really can't remember what the charges were. At that point, we were allowed to release photos to the public of the condition of the house and each animal. These were all put into a binder at the front desk, but nobody cared at that point anymore. A really disturbing note, as if the rest of this wasn't disturbing, is that the owner was a nurse at the hospital. And since she had no sinks or bathtubs, I wonder how she bathed or cleaned herself to go to work. Best not to think about that, I guess. I did have a couple more people tell me that they'd encountered the nurse at the hospital and the strong ammonia smell was always prevalent. I'm sure a Google search will return hits if you want to see how poorly these animals were treated. I just couldn't do that job anymore, so I had to leave.
Wow. Fair enough.
That's
horrifying.
That is really horrifying.
It reminds me of that hoarder show.
Yeah. This one is a cat hoarder, apparently. Well, a dog too, but that would be hard. I couldn't believe it. I saw one
episode where they had a bunch of animals. No, that's
I was stumbling sad. Through some of it Those because it's animals. Kind of shocking, to be honest. And the way she's shooing them out because she's hoping that she'll get some of them back. And like, can she not see? It must be a problem in the brain, but can she not see that they're not healthy, you know? That they're sick, that they need help. Like, that's not love, you know? That's not love.
Especially being a nurse. Because I'm not a nurse. I'm not a vet. I'm not medically trained beyond, like, first aid classes. Yeah. That's all I got. But I can look at an animal and usually tell you if they needed vet or not.
Yeah, most people that's just, can, that's, I think.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was, that's sad.
That's terrible. All right, so I'm just going to move right along.
Yeah, please do.
That's well, thank you. Depressed.
Thank you for sending that in. It was really sad, but, you know, an interesting story nonetheless. But yes, let's move on to something happier. Happy, 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 happy.
Definitely, because I honestly, I feel bad for the person that sent it in, because I don't think anybody should ever have to see and experience stuff like that. Like, that is heartbreaking. No, for the people involved, because that person is never going to, that's never going to go away. Like, that person is probably traumatized with that now. So I'm just going to hope you're okay and roll right along, because that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this next one, again, it's from an online message board. It says, today was Thanksgiving, and our store was one of the few places in our area that was open. The main grocery store and the convenience stores were closed, so it was just us and some pharmacies. Because of this, we were extremely busy with people who had forgotten stuff they needed. At one point, we had a group of three teenagers and one older guy, maybe an uncle, come in and start awkwardly standing around the front registers. Teenagers almost always cause problems here, so rather than approaching, I made eye contact with one of them. She immediately turned away and started whispering to her friend. I assumed they didn't need help, and I went back to working in my aisle. A few minutes later, my manager was having a conversation with me, and the girl I made eye contact with came up to me, and she's yelling, "Excuse me, I need help getting my pictures off this." And she holds up a disposable camera. Me, okay. I just need to find an envelope that she can fill out to send it in for processing. So I start digging around behind the counter, and I heard her telling her friends that she didn't think I was right. And that's when the guy she came in with told me that they thought I was wrong. The guy says, she says if you help her, she can connect the camera to her phone with Bluetooth and download the pictures onto her phone. Me, there's no way to do such a thing. We usually mail disposable cameras out of state for film processing, and then the pictures are digitally sent back to us to print. The guy says, well, how long does that take? Me, well, it's usually a few weeks. Behind him, the girl started throwing a fit that it wouldn't be done today and stomped off. The funniest part of all of this to me is the fact that they actually thought disposable cameras had Bluetooth. Wow.
Ooh. Well, I mean, it's been a hot minute since I've seen a disposable camera, but I'm guessing they never had seen one.
No. No, they didn't. I love these, the technology gap between, like, yeah. And it's not even a huge generational gap. It's, you know, in 20 years, the technology just advanced so quickly that things like this, they're just wow. That's I love funny. Watching young teenagers trying to work with old technology, like the stuff that we grew up with. So it's not like it's even that old, but it's...
That's right, it's know. Not.
It's great.
Yeah. Like when but, you see them... But I mean, it them,
is, according to these kids.
Well, like a rotary phone, right? Blows their minds. They're like, what is this?
Right?
Amber actually, she's I like, I kid- want one. She says she wants one. She's like, whenever I get like... Whenever I move out on my own, I want to have a landline. I'm like, why? And she's like, well, I want one of those rotary phones or those old-fashioned phones, something like that. And I'm like, Amber, oh, those were a pain. Ouch. I said, those took so long to make a freaking call. And like, if you screwed it up, oh, there you go. Now you got to do the whole thing again. Yeah. And if, God forbid, there was a lot of nines in that call, like ticka, 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 ticka. I'm like,
oh, man.
But, you know, she can, if that's what she wants, she can do that. But it wouldn't bother.
Well, it wouldn't be terrible now because most places you call with an automated message board, you can just talk to the computer these days. But the reason rotary phones went out was because you would call and they'd be like, press 1 for, press 2 for.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't just press. Yeah. And the other downside to it is you had to keep a pencil by the phone. Otherwise, your manicure was gone.
I never thought of that.
You would just Right? Oh, I remember it because when we got rid of our last rotary phone, I think I was 6 or 7. And we had touch tone phones in the house as well, but we also still had the old rotary phone sitting on the table, usually in my parents' room, because nobody was supposed to use that phone. We are all supposed to use the phone in the kitchen. But I think I was 6 or 7 when we got rid of it. And I remember my mom, the first time I ever really heard her cursing was because she had just gotten her nails done. Mm-hmm. And she had to go and make a phone call. So she was in her room. So she made a phone call and she broke her nail. And she was so mad.
Oh, no.
Because she had somewhere to go to. And her manicure was destroyed. So, yeah, you have to keep a pencil by the phone, not just for messages, but to protect your fingernails.
Makes sense. You know,
right?
We had one. You probably saw it. Like, when I was in high school, we had one all the way up to when I moved out. It was in the basement because, I don't know, we had a phone in the basement.
Yeah.
It was the black one, and that one used to be in my bedroom when I was little, but I don't know, Mom probably doesn't have it anymore.
Nice.
But it was there. It was there. So I don't know if you ever saw it when you lived there, but it was not that exciting, I suppose, really. But but still.
It's possible. It's possible that I saw it.
There was so much stuff in that basement, though, so it was
and
like
spiders.
Okay. Oh, I don't want to even talk about the spiders there. You remember, there's too many stories. I'm going to get the heebie-jeebies. So, I don't want to. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's a pass. Okay, we're going to switch over
I didn't get into that very much.
No, is that laundry only? Thank you. Apparently, I talked on the phone there sometimes, but maybe it was probably when I was doing my laundry. Okay.
Probably, yes.
My next one is not about spiders, thank God. It's from like a police department. It's an online message board. So it starts, I was working narcotics in the detective division of a small city department. There was a pair of women who were known for dealing drugs from their house. Surveillance showing many short-term visits, like people buying. We stopped several people and found drugs. We also had a confidential informant make a control buy that was recorded. We had enough for a search warrant, so we applied and it was granted. I asked a couple of detectives from the fraud division to help with the search as it was a large house and I needed more bodies. Fraud detectives do not have much interaction with the type of people we meet in narcotics. We entered the residence and secured the occupants and went about the search. One of the fraud detectives was searching one of the bedrooms. Each woman had their own bedroom. He found a metal box under the bed. And when he opened it up, he found a long banana-shaped device. He called me into the room and he was holding it to the light, making a close examination of the plastic item. It had a switch down near the base and appeared to run on batteries.
Oh.
I assume he thought it to be some type of drug item. He said, "Do you know what this is?" Yeah, it's a dildo.
Oh,
it then sunk into his mind that he was holding in both hands without gloves a sexual enjoyment device that had been placed in a very private part of the owner's body. He let out a scream and tossed it halfway across the room in an effort to get away from it. He stomped out of the room muttering, "When I serve search warrants and banks, I don't have this type of problem." Well, I hope he doesn't in a bank. Yuck.
Oh, God.
I hope he went to go wash his hands right after. Ugh, that's funny.
I would imagine he would. Why would you touch anything without gloves?
Right?
Especially around a bed. Like, that is so gross.
And the way he was examining it so closely. Like,
that is so gross.
He thought it was drug paraphernalia.
Okay, but how could...
I don't know. But it's funny.
Oh my gosh.
I bet they laughed about that. Like,
horrifying.
They probably still
funny.
Laugh about that. That
forever. Oh, that, definitely. That they're going to tease him for the rest of his life. That's fantastic.
And he was probably so serious, like examining it, like, you know, being super fraud detective, like, what is this item? Gross.
Were you raised under a rock? Like,
maybe.
How do you not? Ew.
Yeah, well.
Maybe.
Listen, it was a gross one, but not as gross as we've had. Okay, so it could be worse, everybody.
No, that is true. Could be worse.
Always could be worse.
Could be a lot worse.
Yuck.
I could make it worse, but we're just going to move on.
Yeah, we're not going return to that fine form yet. It'll happen, no. But not yet.
So this next one is it's two very short stories from the same message board.
Ooh, it's a twofer.
It's a twofer. And I believe it's an EMS. He says, first, we responded to a local school at like 2 a.m., for a 16-year-old male who ingested magic mushrooms. And this kid is tripping balls. He's naked, standing on top of some playground equipment, yelling obscenities. And we're standing there with some sheriff's deputies trying to figure out how to get the kid down. We're arguing over whether it's law enforcement problem or a medical problem. The whole time, the kid is getting more obscene. We try to coax him down, and he finally jumps from the top of the jungle gym, rolls upon landing, gets out, and runs across the playground. Ew. Cops take off after him. He's screaming. The cops tackle him, and we load him up. We take it to the hospital. Not sure how the kid didn't get hurt. I'm glad he didn't, but that's crazy, right? And then the second one, he says, we responded to a big rig fire. We arrived to find a semi-trailer fully involved. As we're pulling out hoses, I keep smelling barbecue. It's like 3 a.m. Nobody should be up cooking. Later, I found out the trail was carrying a load of pork. Biggest barbecue I've ever been to. Right?
Oh, that's kind of funny. I like that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I hope nobody got hurt, but...
No.
Just some pork.
Yeah. Just pretty sure it was covered in water and all that stuff. So yeah. I don't think anyone's eating it. But.
Foam.
Oh, foam. My gosh.
They use foam on vehicle fires.
There you go. I don't think anyone's having any of that.
A little bit of foamy pork flavor.
Added, we could do without, I think.
Yes.
We could do without. I'm definitely sure EMS, all the emergency services, they must see so many things. Like the drugged out kid who probably thought he was like, God knows what he thought he was. Like standing up there and in a kid's playground, just ew. But yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, standing up there naked, screaming.
But the pork truck, that's funny. Maybe he smelled the pork truck and he was hungry. That's why he jumped off and ran. He was like, I smell barbecue.
Maybe.
And he just went running.
Barbecue.
That reminds me of like when Dave and I worked at the same pizza place like decades ago. Yes. And they got barbecue sauce. It was new at the time. And you put it on top of one of the pizzas. But the smell of the bottle was just blah. Like even when it was empty. You just kind of go like, and a smell would come out. And we would end up doing that to each other all the time. It was so gross. I have a picture of him holding it. And I made him hold this little sign that said, BBQ for you. For us, it was very funny. For anyone listening, they're like, what the hell? But it was very entertaining at the time.
I'm sure they understand. It's just the kind of thing you do. You get something that stinks and you have to make sure everybody else has to smell.
Like anytime Christian's like, hey, smell this. I'm like, no, I have learned.
Right.
I'm not smelling this, especially if it's anywhere around his hockey stuff. Like, it's not him. It's just nobody has good smelling hockey gear, right? I mean, he's a clean guy. He showers. He's got the deodorant. He's got the... like the cologne, he's got all that. He's not a stinky boy, but hockey gear
doesn't matter.
Hockey gear, yep, sure does.
Hockey gear stinks. Somebody left a hockey bag in the office one time.
Oh no!
I can't even remember what job I was working. It was a few years ago. It was one of the dealerships I worked at, and somebody left a bag of hockey gear in the office, and the smell just kind of slowly wafted out and invaded the entire service department. It was so bad. We figured out who it was, and we made him take it out. They go, I don't want it in my car. It stinks up my car. We're like, no kidding. Get it out of the office. Like, I don't care what you do with it. Get it out of the office.
Yeah, no kidding.
So he went and he sat it behind the building, and our office dunk, like dirty hockey gear for probably 3 days.
That's gross.
Like, it was terrible. And again, he was a clean guy. The stuff in it was clean. He, like, he's a technician, so he has a very dirty job. He was one of the ones, like, when he would show up, his hands were clean, his nails were clean. So you know he was a clean guy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of technicians, when they've been doing it for, you know, 10, 20 years, their nails are always dirty. Like, it doesn't matter. Their nails are always dirty.
Yeah.
But this guy had been, he was probably been a technician for 30 years. Because I'm pretty sure he was in his mid to late 40s. And he'd been working on cars. Well, he'd been working on cars since he was a kid with his dad. But I mean, he'd been working in shops for at least 30 years and his nails weren't even slightly discolored. So, you know, like, he was clean, just like Christian. But no, that stuff just stinks.
I remember.
It doesn't matter how well you wash it. That stuff just stinks.
When they were like, when the kids were a lot younger, it was the bigger difference. You know, we'd go, we'd watch their ball hockey games. But it's like, it was when the adult teams came to play right after and they'd start lining up and you're like, oh, like the kids didn't really smell as newer equipment, all that stuff. But then you walk by these big guys, you're like, oh God, got to get out of there. It was nasty business. Well, still it was nasty business, but
definitely
it's all part of the sport, I guess.
Yes, so, it is.
Yay.
That's the part they don't tell you about when they're trying to glamorize the sport. They don't tell you to stay far away from your heroes until after they've showered and put on their street clothes. Because, wow, it's fragrant.
That's a nice word. So, yeah, I guess that kind of wraps it up. Now, we've been kind of playing with the idea of maybe having, not just for a contest, but having some guests come on the show, whether you want to be reading your own story or you just want to join us and read one of the stories we have. You know, we thought that might be kind of fun, kind of nice. You know, you can, you know, we'll figure that out. But if you want to, we would love to have you. So you just let us know through the email, or, I mean, if you know us personally, text us, call us, whatever, or through the Instagram or Facebook, and Danielle will tell you what those are, because we all know what happens when I try. It's never good.
You don't want to give it a shot again?
No.
Hey, you got it right one time. I was very proud of you.
Yeah. That's
anyway,
not the day.
Send us an email. Send us an email with your stories. And if you just want to be on the show, to iwcctpodcast@gmail.com. Or we're on Facebook at If Water Coolers Could Talk and Instagram at iwcctpodcast. Just come out, chat with us, keep the conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, I'm telling
you. Join our Facebook group. We want you to join our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Maybe that ages us, but
definitely.
I don't care. You know, listen, whatever. We do posts there. It's
rate
fun.
Rate and review us.
That'd be great, too.
Definitely.
Hopefully a nice
comment.
Review.
Any review is relevant. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
It's all a review.
And if you think the show is fun, you should hear the behind-the-scenes stuff. So it gets crazy.
It does, but it's fun. We like doing it. So if anyone's interested, then you just let us know. And I was too tongue-tied, twisted, whatever, getting through my stories today. I wasn't even going to give that email a try. And I don't know why. I can see it in front of me and I can say it normally, but you put a mic in my hand, forget it. It's not going to happen very well. So that's not happening.
It's so funny. I do not understand.
I was about to say, I was so glad to have you back. And then we got to record, but then look at you being mean.
I wasn't being mean. I was just being honest. I suppose it was a little mean.
We're going to wrap this up. We're going to see you next week around the water cooler. Before things get worse.
Stay hydrated, my friends.
Bye.